And you're back listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, with your Fusion Funk Meister. On the phone with me right now is somebody that likes to, you know, that comes to Kansas City. His group comes, he and his group have been coming to Kansas City for quite, for well over 50 years now, or within the last 50 years, and have done nothing but made history and give us plenty of reason to tap our feet and shake our head. And I'm talking about Emilio Castillo, one of the founding members of the group, the Tower of Power. How you doing today, Mimi?
I'm good, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Hey, yeah, we look forward to seeing you August 25th here at the Ameristar, along with Average White Band.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, you all have come quite a few times along with AWB, haven't you, over the years?
Oh, yeah, we do probably 10 to 20 gigs a year with them.
Okay, okay. Keep that 70s funk and soul alive.
Yeah, you know, that's a good package for promoters. Or the fans love it, and we're all good friends, and we get along, so it works well.
And tell me, now, you know, 50 years ago, how did all of this get started? You and I have talked about this before, but gained even more listeners who might not be aware how Tower of Power came to be.
Well, we were teenagers in the East Bay of the Bay Area, and at that time, you know, the whole psychedelic thing was happening in San Francisco, but in the East Bay, it was all about soul music, and it was right around the time Sly and the Family Stone came out. They were playing a club locally, and there was a really good soul band that I tried to pattern myself after called the Spiders. They were really tight. They had excellent background vocals and a real high-energy show. And I got into soul music, and it was like I had blinders on. That's the only kind of music I was interested in. And so we named our band the Motowns, and, you know, I had a few horns. And then I met Doc Kupka. He came up to me at the Alameda County Fair. He said, "Boy, you got a nice band." I said, "Thank you very much." And he said, "Yeah, he was the only one thing wrong. Your horn section needs some bottom. By the way, I play the baritone saxophone." And we wound up hiring him a week later. And he came in the band. We changed the name to Tower of Power and started writing our own songs. And we auditioned at the Fillmore West for Bill Graham. And he liked us and signed us to his record label, San Francisco Records. And that's how it all began.
And early on, you eventually got to warm up for a lot of name acts, didn't you?
Early in our career, we started getting calls. The first call we got was from Nick Gravanitis. He was a singer for Big Brother and the Holding Company. And at the time, he was doing a lot of gigs with Michael Bloomfield. And he wanted us to come over and put some horns on a track called Funky Jim, and we went over there and did it. He laid a little money on us on our way out. We were all going, "What's this for?" You know, we were just having fun. And then a short time later, Carlos Santana called us up in the middle of the night, said he had a song called Everybody's Everything, and he wanted us to put horns on it, and we did that. We had a lot of fun doing it, and he gave us a little money on the way out, and pretty soon it became like a little side career for us. But the main thing for us has always been Tower of Power.
But you also didn't you do some opening sets for somebody like Aretha Franklin at one time?
We played with Aretha Franklin at the Fillmore West. Bill Graham brought her in to do a weekend there, and that was a big deal for the Bay Area, you know. And a big media event, and Bill felt that we were the perfect act to open up for her. And so we opened up for her all weekend, and she was a big fan of the band. I remember I saw her on the third night, and she came up to me. She said, "Tower of Power, my favorite band." And I'll never forget it.
But now, I know you mentioned a local group, you know, that you patterned the, you know, the T.O.P. After, called the Spiders. Were there any major acts that may have inspired, you know, what you all were doing at the time, you know, at the beginning?
Well, there was a soul singer out of, he was recording out of New York with Jerry Ragavoy, and his name was Howard Tate. And his big song, he had two big songs. One was called Ain't Nobody Home, and another one called Stop in the 60s. Really soulful voice with a really killer horn section. And the thing about his horn section that we really died was the baritone was really loud. And when Doc came in the band, we sort of patterned our horn sound after that album. There was another band called Dyke and the Blazers. And they were kind of like a James Brown sort of a band, really funky. They were one of the first bands to inject really syncopated rhythm into their songs. And we, everybody in the Bay Area dug that. And we sort of made that a part of our sound. So Dyke and the Blazers were very influential. Of course, James Brown, you know, and all the Memphis soul. We used to do a lot of Memphis soul music. A lot of songs by Sam and Dave, Wilson Pickett, Eddie Floyd, Otis Redding, you know, Carlo Thomas. We used to play B-A-B-Y, Baby. And we just, we did all the soul music of the day. You know, we also liked the really, you know, vocal tunes, you know, like Never Gonna Give You Up by Jerry Butler.
Oh, yeah.
All the songs by Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions, like Fool For You.
You know, it's,
We're a Winner, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You mentioned Dyke and the Blazers, and it just put some of my listeners can't keep in mind that there was a Kansas City connection there, because I don't, you know, one of their drummers is from here, James Gatson, who eventually went on to play with the Watts
130th Street Rhythm Band.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we recorded one of their tunes. We recorded the song that he sang, Loveland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that you did that on Great American Soul Book, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, James was a great drummer, and nobody knew it at the time, but all of a sudden they came out with Loveland, and everybody realized he was a great singer, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see. Now, you just the band just released a record here in the last 2 or 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. Soul Side of Town. Talk about that and the concept behind it.
Well, Soul Side of Town came out on June 1st, and it's our 50th anniversary record. You know, and we worked on it for a long time. We actually recorded two albums worth of material, so we have another album waiting in the wings to come out in about a year or so. And I produced that record with Joe Vanelli, who's Gino Vanelli's brother, produced all those great records for Gino Vanelli.
Yeah.
He's just a really, really accomplished musician, great producer, great engineer. And he happens to be married to my business manager, Diane Ricci. Uh-huh. She had told me that he wanted us to come in and do a few days with him in his studio. And by then, I had already recorded 17 tracks, basic tracks, you know, and I went in with him, and he was so meticulous, and the way he approached sound and harmony and rhythm, and just in every way, he was pushing the envelope. And I asked him if he would help me finish the project, because I had realized at that point it was too big for me. I was trying to record 25 songs and pick the best 12. I wound up recording 28, and when we took it to the new record company, Mack Avenue Records, they liked it all, so they wanted to release it all. So, as I say, we have two albums done. First one came out, Soul Side of Town, June 1st. The other one will be out in a year or so.
Now, when you decide whether it's you're going, you know, what records you're going to record or your set list for a live performance, is it still a matter? Is it still the band votes on what tracks are going to get played, or is it just you, or is it just you and Doc, or what?
Well, you know, it's definitely a band. It's not the Emilio Castillo show, you know. I'm the leader, and the buck stops here. Someone's got to make a decision, but I definitely throw the ball around. I get everybody involved in writing, and we're all involved in picking the songs that make the cut. And so it's very much a democratic process. But in the final analysis, you know, somebody has to make the final decisions. And after I've consulted with everybody and gotten everybody's feelings about things, and, you know, then we decide what's going to be where and how it's going to be sequenced, et cetera.
And tell me how it felt when you got the word that Billboard gave this out and the recognition that you got.
Yeah, we hit number one. First week out, we were number one on the jazz charts, and we were top five in the R&B hip-hop charts, and we even made the top 10 on the independent charts. So I was kind of stunned, to tell you the truth, but I tell people, you know, it took us 50 years to become an overnight success.
Well, you know, and that also, it's also an indication that, you know, people know what to listen to, and you know what's going to sound good. So, you and the band are going to come rolling in on the 25th of August and at the Ameristar. What can we expect?
Tyler Bauer. It's a live energy show. It'll move you emotionally. We got them up-tempo songs that make you sweat, dance, and jump, and shout. And we got those heart-wrenching ballads, those love songs, and, you know, stir your emotions. And it's just a real high-energy show, kind of like a James Brown show or a Prince show or a Sly Stone show. You know, it's high energy and great original soul music, Tower Power style.
Oh, and let's talk about this new lead, the latest lead singer that you have.
Marcus Scott.
Yeah. Talk about him a little bit.
He's a wonderful vocalist from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm not sure if you're aware of the fact we had a great vocalist named Ray Green. We all loved him dearly. And at one point, Carlos Santana decided he loved him too and offered him twice the work, twice the money and half the work. And we couldn't blame him for going over to Santana. He's got kids in college and stuff. I had about 2 months to find a singer, and I'd already put Ray Green on, a third of the tracks. And there's a drummer from B.B. King. His name's T.C. It's Tony Coleman. And T.C. called me up and said he had this singer in Memphis that he wanted me to listen to. You know, I was going through YouTube, checking out all the finalists for The Voice and American Idol and, you know, America's Got Talent, all those finalists and semifinalists, going through all the singers and calling all the people I trusted, checking out everybody from every city that I could, you know. We narrowed it down to three people, and Marcus Scott was one of them. And he came out along with two other people to Las Vegas and auditioned, and we decided to go with him. He's just turned into just one of the most amazing lead vocalists we've ever had. I think he might be the very best. He's a young guy, just turned 34. Real soulful. He calls himself an old soul.
All right.
He likes it old soul style.
All right.
We're grateful to have him.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a pleasure talking with you, especially because we haven't talked in a minute. So, you know, it's always good to hear from you and what's happening with the band. And just thank you for taking the time out. And it's clear that you're giving Kansas City fans of Tower Power something to look forward to on August 25th at the Ameristar.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Kansas City is always that's a great soul town.
Well, you know, and well, we've enjoyed listening to a soul side of town too. We played, you know, quite a few tracks from the CD, but so we know what to hear. That, you know, what we're looking for there. We also know, those more iconic tracks that the band has provided, given to the world. So we look forward to seeing you.
All right, Barrett. Good talking to you, man.
All right. Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.